around me many they're building all their homes of beauty and wealth. But what of a home, friend in heaven? Tell me where will you live after death? Are you ready for that home in heaven? Will you live there when this life is over? Will you move to the beautiful city and live with Christ evermore? Are you ready for the Savior's coming? Are your sins all washed in the blood? Are you sure, friend of God's great salvation? Will you move to that heavenly home? Thank God I'm ready for my home. It's heaven, and I'll live there when this life is o'er. And I'll move to the beautiful city and live with Christ evermore. Yes, I'll live with Christ evermore. Before we turn to the Word of God tonight, there's just one final verse that I'd like to sing to you. Upon my heart there is a burden, for lost souls have gone astray. Can't you hear the Savior calling? Don't go home tonight unsaved. What if death should overtake you? It would be too late to pray. Won't you come while God is calling? Don't go home tonight unsaved. The end of time is drawing nearer. Can't you hear the Savior say, now's the time, helpless sinner, don't go home tonight unsaved. Yes, the end of time, it's drawing nearer. Can't you hear the Savior say, now's the time, listen, sinner. Don't go home tonight unsaved. Don't go home tonight unsaved. I want us to open our Bibles tonight in the familiar passage of God's Word in Matthew's Gospel and the chapter 27. 27th chapter of the book of Matthew's Gospel. We're going to commence to read the Word of God tonight. Just a few verses from God's infallible truth. But it's so important to follow the Word of God. Verse number 15. That's Matthew's Gospel chapter 27, verse number 15. Let's follow the word of the Lord, please. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you? Barabbas? Or Jesus, which is called Christ. For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was sat down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, whither of a twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. But Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made. He took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he, Pilate, had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Let's bow our heads. O God, our Heavenly Father, in the solemnity of this meeting, we just bow before Thee, and we thank Thee for Thy precious Word. As we have read Thy Word afresh tonight, how it speaks to our hearts. What a moment that must have been. When Pilate, with tears in his eyes, and his heartbreaking, begged the people and asked them, what shall I do then with Jesus? And O God, tonight I pray that as we come to the study of thy word, that thou wilt write it upon our hearts. For truly this is a solemn moment too, where men and women stand at a crossroads, and young people. And O God, one way takes them to hell and one way takes them to heaven. And Jesus Christ, the only Savior to escape hell, the only way to heaven. Bless thy word to us now in Jesus' precious name, for his glory. Amen. Over these last number of months, people have had to make decisions. Choices have had to be made that we never thought we'd have to make. Decisions had to be taken that we never thought would have to be taken. But you and I know that decisions have to be made every day. We're doing it every day of our lives. I think of a young couple that God blesses with a little child. And you know, as they're expecting that little one, they wonder. I wonder, is it a boy? I wonder, is it a girl? And then they have got to decide when the child is born, what will we call him? Or what will we call her? And then they've got to decide as the child grows up in a school time, well, what school will I send them to? And as you think about that child going out for the first day into school, parents, you wonder, how can I protect my little one from the evil influences of this world? You watch your child grow up, becomes a young person, and then they leave the primary school and they go into the higher school, and then they've got to answer the question, well, what subjects will I take? And what career will I follow? And then after that they come to decide, well, what job am I going to choose for my life? And then perhaps they fall in love and they wonder, you know, well, who will I marry? And then as they think about that marriage, they ask themselves this question, well, where shall we live? Where shall we settle down? Then they ask the question, well, can we afford a house? Can we afford to buy? You see, friends, questions, questions, questions. Decisions, decisions, decisions that we make every day of our lives. When you open the book of Genesis, the first question was asked by God. When God asked Adam, he said, Adam, where art thou? And then he asked Eve the question. He says, what is this that thou hast done? Jeremiah asked the question, how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Job asks the question, man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost. And here's the question, where is he? Where is he? The Lord Jesus asks the question, what should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Oh, there are many questions, my friend, that you face in life and decisions that you have to take. And perhaps, well, it's not really important, some of them, and the decisions will not have great import upon your future life in this old world. But Pilate was asked a question. And my friend, it was such an important question because it's a question of destiny for a soul. And Pilate was faced with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was the most important question that he could ever ask.
But he didn't ask it himself. He asked it about himself. And he asked others to tell him the answer. He said, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Pilate found himself confronted with none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't want to be faced with that. You see, Pilate didn't arrest the Lord Jesus and say, listen, I want to put him on trial. No, the Jewish religious leaders, they forced the Lord Jesus before the Roman court. But irrespective of how Christ got there, my friend, Pilate was confronted with him. Pilate hears the accusations that they make against the blessed Son of God. Pilate interrogates the Lord Jesus Christ. He asks him certain questions. And Pilate is convinced that the religious leaders have delivered Jesus out of envy to silence the Lord Jesus Christ and to put him to death. My dear friend, Pilate was in a precarious situation because Pilate was not loved by the Jews. They never trusted him. Because he deliberately violated their laws and he provoked their anger. And now he's faced with a dilemma. And he has a conference in his own heart. And he has a concern in his own home. And he has a choice on his own hands. And it's all about Jesus. He asks the question, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? I want to tell you, my friend, this is a powerful question. Because there is no greater question than a man could ever ask his own soul to answer. Standing in the presence of the Savior himself. Facing the question, my friend, that will not only seal whether Christ would go to the cross as far as man was concerned or whether he would be alive. No, it was a question of destiny. For Pilate's own soul, he would either seal his destiny for heaven or he would seal his destiny for hell, because Jesus said, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus says, I am the door, the only door to heaven. And it's only he who enters in by that door, Christ Jesus, that shall be saved. It was question time, yes, but it was decision time. No greater question could ever be asked or could ever be answered. And friend, here we have a powerful question. And as we read it about Pilate, I want you to think about yourself, because it was not only a powerful question, it was a personal question. Question. Pilate asked the crowd to give him the answer. But Pilate had to make the decision. Now I want to tell you, my friend, it's your relationship with Jesus Christ that's going to count. You are confronted with the flames of Christ upon your heart. God tells us that we're sinners in his sight. God tells us he has provided in his Son, the only Savior. And you've got to make a choice. You've got to make a decision. And it's either for Christ or it's against him. neutral you can't be. And I want to tell you tonight in this gathering, in this open air rally, before you leave this place tonight, you will give a personal answer to that powerful question concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Your mother can't answer for you, young fella. Your dad can't answer for you, young lassie. Your husband can't answer for you, wife. And wife, you can't answer for your husband. As we see, those things can have powerful forces upon you in the decision. Others. But you've got to make the choice. It's a personal decision. But it was a piercing question. Oh, my friend, the issue was so solemn. Pilate looked into the face of the blessed Son of God. He knew what he ought to do, but my, there were tremendous voices that were coming into his ears and into his heart. The voice of reason told Pilate what to do. Notice what it says in the Word of God, verse 18. He knew that for envy they had delivered him. Pilate wasn't a fool. He had the ability to see beyond the veneer, beyond the religious, pious words, beyond the accusations of the Jewish leaders. Pilate knew that this trial, as far as they were concerned, it was only a charade. They had no desire for justice. All they wanted was to get rid of Christ. All they wanted was for the Son of God to be put to death. And reason told Pilate not to do it. My dear friend, surely it's a reasonable thing for you, as you listen to my voice tonight, realizing that you are living, God has given you life. But remember, what did Job say? God giveth, and God taketh away. You see, God has not only given you life, and God has not only given you breath, but God has the power to stop it. What did he say in the scriptures? The Lord Jesus said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall have be required of thee. And let me tell you, my friend, that night it happened. Why? Because God had the power. The man had planned to pull down his barns. He had plans to build greater. He had plans to say to his soul, soul, you have much goods, and they're laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. You see, he thought he was in control. My friend, tonight I want to tell you, you may be sitting here tonight listening to this preacher, and you might think you're the one in control. You're the one in the driving seat. You're the one with the hands upon the wheel. I want to tell you, it's nothing of the sort. God, in him we live. In him we move. In him we have our being. You owe the very breath that you're breathing right now to the God of heaven. But he's the power to give it. And he's the power to take it away. And God's word tells us that one day you're going to stand before him. Surely the reasonable thing is this. You know you need to meet God, and meet God you will. Surely the reasonable thing is to be ready. Surely the rational thought is, when I'm going to meet a righteous, a holy God, I need to be ready. I need my sin dealt with. I dare not stand before him and my sin. I dare not stand before him and the books open and the record of a sinful life to be recalled. And a sinful death. And now a Christless eternity. It's wise. Oh, that they were wise, the scripture says. That they understood this. That they would consider their latter end. Friend, you're not here forever, and neither am I. God put us here for a short time. And then God has made the appointment for the day we leave. If you don't want to believe me, let me tell you, as you're going home tonight, just stop at the graveyard. And remember every one of those people one day lived. And walked the roads of this wee country. And now their bodies lie in the grave, but their soul, God's required it. God has called them to answer. And the voice of reason said, Pilate, don't listen to the crowd, because Pilate knew. There are many tonight in this world that do not know, because they've never been told that they're sinners. And if they die in their sin where Christ is, they'll never be. They've never been told that God has provided in his Son a remedy for sin. They've never been told that there's a wonderful, glorious Savior. His name is Jesus. But you can't say that. You're like Pilate. Pilate knew the voice of reason. But then the voice of conscience. Because it says Pilate knew that for envy. You see, it was envy. They had delivered Christ. It wasn't Fox. It wasn't charges that could stand the test of scrutiny. No, it was out of envy. And Pilate in his heart knew that Christ was innocent. What did he say? I find no fault in this man. And deep in his conscience, Pilate knew what he ought to do. What do you do with the innocent, friend? You release them. You let them go. The voice of conscience. And I believe there are many people listening to me tonight, and perhaps those who are unsaved. Listen. You know deep in your heart, the voice of conscience tells you, you're not right with God. You dare not meet God as you are. You dare not stand before God, friend. And deep in your heart, you know, I'm here at the gospel rally to hear about Jesus. But I'm not saved. And the voice of conscience tells you, get ready. Get ready. Prepare to meet thy God. I can't send an innocent man to death. That's what Pilate's conscience told him.
But he did. Ah, yes, he dulled the voice of conscience. And died in sin. Is that what you've been doing, friend? God has been speaking to your heart. God has been challenging your soul. God has been reminding you it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And deep in your heart, you know. And you know, I need to get ready. I need to prepare. I need to be saved. I need my sins blotted out under the blood of Christ. The voice of conscience. But there's another voice. Look at the word of God, verse 19. And when he was sat down in the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. You see those words there? What she said, the wife said to Pilate, have thou nothing to do with that just man? The original of those words simply means this. Pilate, let there be nothing between thee and that righteous man. Let nobody else come between you and him. The voice of a loved one.
Pilate's sitting down there on the judgment seat, and she sends a message. And my, with a broken heart, she says, Pilate, listen, don't let anything come between you and him. Don't let anything come between you and Jesus.
That just, that righteous man. She says, because I have suffered many things. You see, God warned her. God gave her a preview. I believe of what it meant to be lost. Can I ask you a question tonight? What's keeping you from Jesus? What's coming between you and him? What is it? What sin is it, friend? Because it's sin that separates between you and God.
What are you letting to block your way to get to Christ? What's the barrier in your life tonight? Listen, is it worth it? Is it worth it to embrace that thing and damn your soul?
Jesus says, what would it profit you if you gained the whole world? And you never will. But even if you gained it all, and you lost your own soul, and the voice of a loved one saying, Pilate, Pilate, don't make the wrong choice. Don't let anything
come between you and him. Between you and Jesus. With all my heart tonight, I'm saying the same to you. Don't let anything stand between you and Christ, friend. Don't let anyone come between you and Christ. Is it a relationship? Is it a friendship? Is it some particular sin that my friend has enchained and enslaved you up tonight? Listen, in God's name, let go. Let God take over.
The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse you from the darkest, vilest, deepest
sin.
Don't let anything come between you and this just man. But Pilate heard another voice. He heard the voice of Jesus himself. You know, whenever Jesus stood before Herod, Jesus said nothing. He never answered him a word. Because Herod had sinned away his day of opportunity and grace. And the Lord had nothing more to say to him. He was handed over to his sin. But the Savior spoke to Pilate. And God in mercy and God in grace tonight is speaking to you. And the voice of God is calling. Be in time. But not only the voices that warned him, what about the values that wooed him? People. Verse 20. The chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Yes, the religious leaders. And I want to tell you, my friend, there are multitudes of religious leaders tonight, and they're leading their congregations and their people to hell. They've never once told them they need to be saved. They've never once told them about the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that alone can cleanse them from their sin. Told them, do the best you can. Say your prayers. Be baptized. Be catechized. You'll be all right. I want to tell you, I don't care who they are. If that's what they've told you, they're a liar. Because the Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. As born of God, friend. You see, the natural birth, you were born in sin. You need a new birth. Thank God there was a day when you were born naturally. And thank God there'll be a moment in the day you'll be born spiritually. When you turn from darkness to light and from the power of sin and Satan unto God. And know the forgiveness of sin. And sad to say, in Pilate's heart, when he knew what was right, yet there was the pull of the crowd, the multitude. You're to ask the world tonight what you do with Jesus. Say, forget about it. Forget about him. We've moved on from that kind of old preaching. We don't believe there's a hell anymore. My heaven is for everybody. God will never send a person to hell. I want to tell you, dear sinner, it's not God who sends you to hell. It's your sin that takes you to hell. And a righteous God could do nothing but give you the just rewards of your sin. And the wages of sin is death. But God has provided in Christ Jesus, his Son, eternal life. But the crowd said, don't come. Or don't release him. Crucify him. And then his position. You see, Pilate loved his lavish lifestyle.
He loved all the amenities that a Roman governor could have and ever think or ask for. And then they said, if you let him go, you'll not be Caesar's friend. In other words, you lose your position. Let me tell you, friend. Tonight in hell, Pilate is still there. It wasn't his position he lost. It was his immortal soul. And that's what's at stake tonight. But he loved his position. He was filled with self. But notice, it was a pressing question, for he had to answer. Pilate had to answer.
He asked the crowd. But Pilate had to do something with Jesus. Many years ago, there was a godly woman. Her name was Emma Mon, the great missionary. And the Mon family gave their lives to serve the Lord on a foreign field. And as a young woman, Emma Mon was sitting at a gospel meeting. And the preacher was preaching from this text of God's word, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And he looked down into the audience, and he looked straight into the face of Emma Mon, and he pointed to her and he said, young woman, you will do something with Jesus. And you will do something tonight. You will accept, or you will reject, but you will do something tonight. And thank God that night, Emma was gloriously saved. And she came as a sinner to Jesus. Maybe there's someone listening to you tonight and you want to drown out the voice of God calling you to repentance and to salvation. I beg you in God's name, listen, it's an inescapable question. You will have to answer it. You will make your choice. But the last thought is this. It's a provoking question. What did Pilate do? He begged the crowd, what shall I do? And they said, crucify him. And then he said this, why? Why? What evil have he done? Listen, my friend, I asked you the question. Why? Why are you rejecting him? Why are you rejecting the Son of God? Why are you casting aside God's great salvation and going on in your sin? When Pilate could not get his way with the crowd, he took a basin and he put his hands in the basin and he performed an act in front of the people and he washed his hands and then he held them up and said, look, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. You say, was that the end of the story, William? No, friend. No, no. Because if you look at the word of God, verse 26. Then released he, that's Pilate, released Barabbas unto them. And when he, Pilate, had scourged Jesus, he, Pilate, delivered Jesus to be crucified. He knew it was the wrong choice. But he made it. Elvis Presley wooed the multitudes of young people. They called him the king of rock and roll. He had a stepbrother called Rick Stanley. One night, Elvis was going past Rick's room, and I visited that house, Nashville, Tennessee, Memphis, Tennessee. A lonely place. And as he walked past Rick's room, he noticed that Rick was sitting there with his hands over his head, and it seemed as if he was crying. Elvis came into the room and he said, "Rick, what is it? What is it, Rick? How much do you need?" For he thought, you see, that everything could be bought with money. Rick said, "You know, Elvis, it's this young girl, Robin, and she told me I needed Christ. I needed Jesus Christ as my Savior." Elvis Presley sat down beside Rick Stanley and he said these words. He says, "You know, Ricky, she's right. It's time we all stop fooling around and got right with God." Rick Stanley got saved. I don't know what Elvis Presley's answer was. It said he cried, "Oh God, show me a way." Let me ask you, friend, as I close tonight, will you stop fooling around? Because that's what you're doing in your sin. Remember, God's word says, sin when it's finished, and you'll have your last day of it. You'll have your last moment of it. You'll sin your last sin. Sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. Eternal separation from God himself. The question is this. Ask it in your own heart right now, friend. In the stillness of that car. Forget about those sitting around you. It's you and God, friend. Remember, it's you and him. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? You've got to give the answer. You will accept or you will reject. But you will do something tonight. And I beg you in God's name with all my heart, don't reject Christ. As many as receive him, to them give he power to become the sons, the daughters of God, even to them that believe on his name. I beg you, receive Christ as your Savior. And thank God, if we never meet again, we'll meet in heaven. Heavenly Father, take of thy word tonight, write it on hearts. Don't let men and women go away without Jesus. Don't let them leave this car park tonight without settling the question of their soul. Soul salvation. Save them now. In Jesus' name. Amen.